Welcome to The Ultimate Unwind. This is Grego, my Lego. No rush here. Just building, relaxing, and talking Lego. Subscribe now to Grego My Lego on YouTube, where every build tells a story.
Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. This episode of the Downtown Lowdown is powered by the Tip City Foundation, investing in what makes our community thrive. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. And welcome to today's episode of the Downtown Lowdown. Today, we've got our co-host, who's wearing multiple hats. So how are you doing today, Greg?
Technically, I don't have any hats on right now. I just took my hat off because it's cold. It's snowing outside.
You should have a hat on then.
It's snowing.
It is snowing.
Again.
I know.
The old snow is still here, and there's new snow now on top of that.
Yeah, that is
correct. I'm going to write my congressman about this. I'm frustrated with the cold.
You should write the editor of the Tippecanoe Gazette.
And complain about too much snow. You know, we're doing a giant two-page spread this week on Snowmageddon 2026
really?
With all these color photos of the storm.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what I'm calling it.
I love it.
Snowmageddon. Yeah, it was good.
Awesome. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Tippecanoe Gazette.
Hey, I like
the award-winning Tippecanoe Gazette.
It does win awards.
Multiple awards.
It does, yes. Lots of awards. People love us. Buy a paper. People love us. Buy an advertisement, please. I beg of you. But no, the paper's doing well. We're happy.
That's awesome because papers are, I mean, I hate to say this, but they're a dying breed right now.
Yeah, they're hard to like make happen. And people send me stuff all the time of like, hey, here's a paper that's going out of business. And I'm like, great, thanks. Or they're like, wow, you have a newspaper? I thought those all died. And I'm like, well, most of them actually have. And it's kind of sad. But the Tip is nice because it's a small, fairly well-off community. And I think that means there's a lot of businesses here and a lot of people that can afford to subscribe to a print paper, which is rare nowadays. A lot of papers are free with a lot of ads in them, which I don't particularly like those. And then there's a lot of businesses that can buy ads and support it. So it's a nice combo. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And I mean, I also kind of feel like we're starting to trend back to where people want to get off of the digital everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know I certainly want to be done with a lot of digital things. Mm-hmm. And I think the generations that are coming, you know, like Ashley, she works for the partnership. They're all about the vintage and the thrifting, mm-hmm. and they love their digital music. But they also want a record.
Yeah.
They also want a newspaper or a magazine. So maybe the pendulum's going to swing back a little bit.
I think I think Facebook killed a lot of newspapers. Because at the time when Facebook came out, it was supposed to be about like, here's all the updates from all your friends.
Yeah, I miss that.
And that's how it started. And sometimes you'll accidentally get in your feed, you'll accidentally get an update from your friend Tasha Weaver.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God.
She still exists.
What's she doing? And it's not just ad. And then I get invited to follow all this stuff from all these different areas. And I'm like, why would I want to follow that sports team, high school sports team from Ashtabula or whatever?
You really?
Know? And I get all these and I'm like, the other day I was counting, I think I had in the top 10 posts on my Facebook feed for the paper and for me, one of them was somebody I knew.
Yeah.
And Facebook started out as, here's all the local news. Here's all the local updates from all your local friends. Here's a bunch of stuff that would be helpful and useful for you. So I think that came in and killed a lot of local news reporting. And sports reporting. And then over time, Facebook has kind of evolved away from that. So, and the same with Instagram, but mostly Facebook. I think mostly Facebook was the problem. And now it's hard for people to get to hear about what's going on. With the, they actually have to talk to their friends.
Right.
Just weird. I don't want to talk to people.
Craig,
I have to call my friend Michael McDermott. I have to call my friend Michael McDermott and say, hey, man, what are you up to? It's just weird. Facebook used to just tell me.
Yeah, I guess.
And I could scroll Facebook for an hour and not see any updates from him. It's just not very helpful anymore.
See, there's also people like me who I don't want to put what I'm doing on Facebook.
Right.
Because
right.
It's nobody's business.
It's nobody's business but yours.
Yeah.
I do the same when I'm on travel. I really want to put pictures up on...
Oh, but you can't do it until you get back.
But you can't do it until you get back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, then I don't remember what I wanted to post about. Right. You know? The only people that can post about their trips are the Kardashians, I guess. Because they they have a guy at their house with his arms crossed waiting for you to show up to rob them because they're out of town. And yeah, I don't know. Social media came along and it was a big, there was a big promise of like, this is really going to help connect everybody. And I feel like it's turned into just a business to make money.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I get all the analytics of our Facebook page mm-hmm. and the reach. But so many local people will be like, oh, you put that on Facebook? I mean, as the partnership, not my personal. Be like, yeah, that's on Facebook. And oh, well, we didn't see it. And then they go and they're like, oh, yeah, it's right there. Yeah. But they're seeing stuff from, you know, Columbus or New York on their feeds. And they're not seeing anything local. So that's, I mean, it's great that it can connect us worldwide. But you also need to know what's happening in your own little corner of the world.
Yeah, I read a book that I can't say the title of. But it was about this drive for businesses to monetize.
Oh.
And it's interesting because you start a business and you provide a service that is useful and helpful for people. And people like that. So that it gets popular and then it becomes a platform. And then once it's a platform, then they're like publicly traded. And then the people come in, they're like, how can we squeeze every single penny out of this platform? And that's when they decided to start adding ads and they started adding all of these like things in your feed. And they were supposed to be interspersed with your actual feed. And now it's just that.
Yeah.
Over time, people get sick of it and then they leave. And then the new thing comes along. And yeah. So it's kind of frustrating. And I feel the same way about Amazon. I feel the same way about Redbubble. I feel the same way about a lot of different companies that I like.
Yeah.
That I want to use. And then you get in there and you're like, wow, really? That's what we're doing now? Really?
Right.
I can't just look at my pictures of my friends on Instagram. I have to see all these stupid ads for like folding chairs and stuff like that. I have no interest in folding chairs. Why are you giving me ads about folding chairs? So one of the things we've been doing with the paper is trying to monetize it as much as possible and make as much money as possible and ruin it for everybody.
Well, don't do that, Greg. We love the paper.
We do love the paper. But no, it really has like made that book made me think about really like honestly looking at what do I want to do to make the paper more financially successful? And then what is the limit of that where then you've just made your website unusable and ugly.
Right.
You know, so we did do that for a while and then I took it all down because I'm like, I don't need all those Google ads on my website. I had it. It made money.
Yeah.
It was great. But you go on there and the user experience is horrible. So I took it all off.
Yeah, because keeping your users happy is what's going to keep your business running.
Up to a point, yes. Yeah. And then when you get to Facebook level, they don't care.
Yeah.
Because you're the or Amazon, they don't care. You get to a point where your business is making so much money that you can lose customers regularly to this frustration, and there's constantly new customers coming in. So I think there's a point there where you take your customers for granted.
Yeah,
I would like to never get to that point, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We'll see.
Yeah.
But we've done a lot of new stuff this year with the paper, and last year was good. It felt like it was the first year, full year that I'd owned the paper that I felt like we were doing pretty good.
Awesome.
We lost money.
Well, I mean, then you know you're doing great, right?
Quite a bit of money. But, you know, it's one of those things where we have like a family of businesses, so my wife is like, her business is doing good, and I have like four business. You know, we have all these different businesses, right. So they, when you file the taxes, they kind of all offset each other. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I would love it if this year the paper were like broke even. That's my goal.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on this year. We hired a new ad lady. We're hiring another new ad person, pushing out a lot of like digital ads.
So when you say ads, what does your normal ad customer look like? You know, in promotions committee, we're doing this. What's the persona that you're advertising
for? What's your ideal customer?
What's your idea?
My ideal advertiser in the paper is somebody, there's two. There's a corporation that wants to get the word out about their business, like Abbey Credit Union.
That's okay.
Perfect. We go and we talk to them and they say, we want to do XYZ. And we're like, well, thank you. We love you. And then they run ads in the paper. And the ads, either it's the same ad all the time. $200-$300 a week usually, and then if it's something that's changing regularly, then we like to move it around in the paper and kind of mix things up. So, because people get used to seeing things in certain areas of the paper, so we kind of mix it up and move stuff around. The other advertiser I really like is like churches and Eagles and things like that, when they want to send us like their menu for their lunches that they're having this month, you know, or something like that. We had so many Christmas related ads for like bells, carolon, you know, like caroling. They were having like events at the churches where they were where they were bringing people in and doing like this and that. We had a bunch of that kind of stuff, and that I really like, because it feels like we're really, yes, they're paying us to put that in the paper, but I also feel like it's something that's really getting the word out to the community about all of these events that are happening. Because sometimes people, especially younger people, they say, there's nothing going on in TIP. And I'm like, there's a lot going on in TIP.
Yeah. You're just there's not definitely a lot going on in TIP.
It's just not on Instagram.
Right. You don't know where to look for it. Go to the paper.
Go to the paper, or go to the partnership, or go to the board that's hanging up in the, you know, Bob Evans. There's lots of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. You just, definitely.
It's not being served to you on a platter where you have to be like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. So the paper, I know you are the owner.
I am the owner and publisher. I like to say that.
And you have some staff.
We have a lot of staff, actually.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about them for a minute?
Sure. Carla is my editor. She runs the paper.
Carla.
And I don't do anything. I'm meeting with her on Wednesday, and I'm like, what am I going to do?
Carla's the boss.
She's the boss, yeah. She does a great job. She's been running the paper for 15 years. She works with all the writers. Mm-hmm. She works with all the columnists. She decides what goes in the paper every week. She determines the layout of what's on the front page, which is, like, I think, her favorite thing. She loves figuring out what's going to go on the front page. Every week we meet, she's like, I got nothing this week. And I'm like, no, you do. So
you do.
But it is kind of daunting. It's like writing a new book. When you sit down with that blank page.
Yeah.
It can be kind of like intimidating. We start the paper over every week, fresh, brand new. Like, there's some stuff that repeats every week, but a lot of it's empty and just white space, and you're like, well,
and we live in an amazing community, so it's not like you're like, oh, I'm gonna listen to the police radio and I'm gonna write about all the crime that happened.
Right. Yeah, there's not a lot of crime, but that is our most popular column. I think people like to read the obits and the police blotter, because they want to see who died, and they want to see that they're not there. Because if you're not listed in the obit, that's a win, I think.
Right.
And they want to see what their friends and family are not doing by comparing it with what other people are doing that's bad.
Well, you have a great, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
What to do.
Yeah, we added the what to do column, and that I write that, and that's fun because it's just a running list of all the events that are happening around town. And then Jody, our ad lady, she actually had the great idea of running ads on that page about, like, events, local events and stuff like that. So that's become like a whole thing. That whole page is like, it's a full page, and it's 1,500 words usually, a list of all the events that are happening around town and in Dayton, and anything I find that I think people will be interested in, like Victoria or that kind of thing.
Nice.
Or Young's Dairy Farm. We don't go north too far. We don't usually do anything north of Troy. Troy's about as far as we go, because I want to keep it within, like, driving distance.
Right.
And then we run a bunch of ads along that page that are like, here's the Eagles dinners for this week, or here's the upcoming events at the Tip Center, or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff.
Have you been upstairs at the Eagles yet?
I'm not allowed up there.
Really?
No. Oh. I don't know the password.
I can get it for you. I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, man. Did you put it on Facebook and I missed it?
February 27th.
What's February 27th?
It's the music bingo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
how do you play music bingo?
The DJ plays a song.
Oh my God. And you guess the song?
And you guess the song.
Oh my God.
From like a 10 to 15 second clip.
Oh my God. I would be so good at that.
You should come. It's going to be fun.
So good at that.
I can't wait to see the space because they renovated it and okay. They found a window. So you're going to have to write about that in the paper.
That is cool. So when is that? February?
February 27th.
Okay. And is that a partnership thing or is that an Eagles thing?
Well, it's a Sync for the Shelter thing.
Oh, good.
So.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a benefit.
That yes
for you
yeah
to raise money
yes
for the thing you're raising money for
yes
I know what
but
that
that's
is.
Not what we're talking about we're talking about the Eagles
no but I love to highlight like local events and stuff like that and that's perfect
yeah you can come up to that event and see the space
and win
and then, yeah win music
what do you
bingo
win, like a lasagna or something
if you want me to add that in the prize I can but I was gonna give away like money
okay yes it goes to the paper. My paper is the charity of choice here. Somebody told me the other day I should apply for a grant for the foundation. And I'm like, it's not a nonprofit. Well, actually.
You could turn the paper into a nonprofit.
Technically, it is a nonprofit. Technically.
Do you have a board?
No, we don't.
Then it's not.
Then it's not a nonprofit. I do have a board. It used to hang outside of the old post office.
Oh, my gosh.
When our offices were at the in there. And it's a big board. It's... Yeah. Wood and it says the
is that number design. Correct
it is
it is
that we kept that number yeah
okay
but yeah we have Carla and we have Josh he's our layout guy he lives down in Cincinnati and he does a great job every week of pulling everything together and in a super timely fashion quick. And then I just saw the proof this morning so right now we're working on the paper for Wednesday and then we started last Thursday
okay
it takes about a week
okay
to pull it together and we're all working remotely. So it's all just email stuff back and forth and Dropbox. We use Dropbox. So I saw proof this morning. Paper looks great. We're doing a special on the Snowmageddon 2026. Look at all the snow people. Like, look at all the
yeah, so this is actually going to come out the day the paper comes out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This will come out on the 4th. And this is, it's fun. Carla sometimes has stress about what to run in the paper. So we meet on Wednesdays and we just chat about the where we're going with the paper. And she asks me for any suggestions and... I don't usually say, I want to do this, I want to do that. It's more preferences. Like, here's a thing I think would work. And she'll be like, no, that doesn't work. So we kind of collaborate on it and make decisions. I don't tell her what to do. Because she knows what she's doing. She's
right.
Great at it and has been doing it for so long. And she wants the paper to be successful. So I trust her. We have added a few new things, but it's pretty solid. Pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of writers. Pat Langley writes, he's my father-in-law. He writes the city council stuff and the school boards. We have Jim DeBelt. He's a sports writer, covers all the sports.
Okay.
And then we have probably 10, 12 other stringers that write on a story-by-story basis.
Nice.
Yeah, so they pitch stuff to Carla, and Carla says, nope, I don't want to hear about that. Or, yes, that sounds great. Or, no, we just did a story about that last month. And then they go off and they interview people and write stories, and then they send them in.
So if somebody has a story idea,
yeah.
Would they reach out to Carla and be like, hey, I've got this idea?
Absolutely. We love story ideas. And a lot of times it's something like we have these staff meetings and we'll talk about stuff. And always, every staff meeting, somebody's like, hey, what's going on with blah, blah, blah. And we're like, oh, I've forgotten about the Chamberlain Pond or something like that. You know, like
right.
That's a 5-year plan to fill that thing up with water. And then after 5 years, it's supposed to look like a lake. But it's not there yet. So we're like, oh, let's do a check-in on that. And who do we have to write that? That kind of thing. So we love story ideas. So, yeah, send them to editor@tipgazette.com. And if she writes you back and says, sorry, we just did a story about that 2 weeks ago. I can't believe you didn't read it in the paper. She
ooh.
Might yell at you. No, she won't yell at you. But, no, we love story ideas. And we love, like, letters to the editor especially. Those are great.
So if someone currently does not have a Tippecanoe Gazette subscription yet.
What?
I know. They just haven't had time to do it yet.
Don't say that. That's not possible.
Well, I'm sure it is possible, but we want to help them. So how can we help them remedy that?
Well, I would say if they're internet savvy, they probably want to get on our website. It's tipgazette.com. That's on the internet. And that's on your computer. And you type it into the part at the top where it says where you put in the address for the websites on your computer. And you type that in, and then that'll show you like a selection of the news stories from the last week and kind of give you a sense of what we cover and how we cover it. It's mostly tip. We got We have some Vandalia. We have some New Carlisle. We have some West Milton.
You do Vandalia sometimes too as well, don't you?
Yeah. Vandalia is a good area because there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. And we have 4 police blotters now, and the Vandalia one's the serious one.
Like, really?
Oh, my God. Like, stuff's happening in there where I have to call Carla, and I'm like, are we going to cover this?
Really?
Should we cover this?
And then you know, I get the paper every week, and I never read the police blotters. Oh, my God. Never.
You have to read the Vandalia one, because I do that one first because it's the most depressing. And I write the headlines. So I read the police blotter and make sure there's nothing in it we shouldn't be putting out. And then those do not ever go online. Because I don't want to contribute to people's sad lives. I don't. Like, that's permanent and forever. So we put that in the paper. I do the Vandalia one first. I read the story, and I write the headlines. And then every once in a while, I'll be like, And then I read the West Milton one, and it's like, cat lost in tree. There was one yesterday. It was like, two kids were riding their bike around, and some lady called the police because she thought they were going to... push all the snow off of her car or something like that. And then, she didn't like that. So she's like, she called the police. The police came out, and the report was like, the snow was still on the car when they arrived, when they left or something like that. Or it's a noise ordinance. There's a loud party or something going on, or somebody set off fireworks, and the police had to tell the person who called it in that they're allowed to shoot off fireworks until 10 o'clock. It was like New Year's Eve. I think it was New Year's Eve night. Or New Year's Day. It was the next day. And they were shooting off fireworks at like 8:30. And somebody didn't like it. And then we have the tip police blotter and the Miami County Sheriff's Office police blotter. And those are far and away the most popular parts of the paper.
Man, I'm missing out then.
Yeah, the Vandalia though. Oh boy.
Okay. When it comes this week, I'm going to read it.
It's a little bit sketch. Not happy. Not happy with it. But no, it's a fun paper, and we try to cover as much as we can. Since I bought the paper, we've expanded into Vandalia and Milton, and we added probably 10 more writers.
Oh, that's great. You also, I know we mentioned this earlier, you won some awards last year.
I did, and how awesome is that?
Do you want to talk about those?
I can't talk about it until the dinner. No, I'm kidding.
What? Those are different awards, Greg.
Those are different awards, Greg. Yes, we recorded a couple podcasts for the show, to be released after your dinner thing, and then your dinner thing got delayed. Why?
From all this crazy weather.
Gosh darn it.
And you've been holding on for this secret for like 2 weeks. Is it driving you crazy knowing who won everything?
People keep asking me, and I keep saying I can't say. Somebody stapled a $20 bill to my front door yesterday with a note. Says, call me. I want to know. But I just
why am I not getting bribes? I'm the one that orders the trophies. I know who wins everything.
I kept the money though.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, we need it for the paper. No. Yeah, we won Small Business of the Year.
Yeah.
For the chamber. And then we also won, which still blows my mind, which is that we won the statewide competition.
Yeah.
For the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
That's a whole state.
Right?
The whole state of Ohio.
Well, guess
what? We won
what?
Main Street Business of the Year for the paper and for my other business, Clock Tower Media,
which produces this podcast. I was going to say, which is producing this podcast right now.
Right now, currently. As you're listening, it's producing the podcast as we speak.
Yeah.
But we won statewide. So that's awesome. It was crazy. And thank you for the nomination.
Yeah. You know,
that
when
was crazy.
I'm presenting in Tulsa, I'm definitely going to talk about winning in Ohio.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm talking, you know.
Will my ears be burning?
Part of my presentation. You heard it in where were we at? Canton?
Yeah. Oh, you're doing that one again.
Yes.
That was great.
I'm doing a version of that one. Modifying it a little bit.
Don't try to do it all.
But I'm going to talk about my partnership with the Tippecanoe Gazette and Clock Tower Medias and how it's helped us as a nonprofit get the word out, because that's important.
It is. That's a great presentation you gave at Canton. I really enjoyed that. So I think it's nice that you're taking that to a bigger audience in Tulsa. Is that the annual like nationwide conference? Wow.
Main Street now.
Congratulations. If you're going to Tulsa for the conference, make sure you sign up for Tasha Weaver's class on Don't Try to Do It All, Wear Fewer Hats or something like that. What's it called? It's called, it had something to do with hats, didn't it?
No.
I think it did.
It did not.
Okay. Wear Fewer Hats.
It says the session classes. You can't do it all.
You can't do it all. Stop. So stop trying. Dang it.
Just stop.
Just stop trying.
Just stop.
No, but we were happy to win the awards, and it got the word out, and we got some subscriptions out of it, and we got some ads out of it, and it's a good thing. And
so if you still
hanging on my wall
are not subscribed, what are you waiting for?
When people come down the stairs to my office, that's the first thing they see. Oh, you
do. You've got a nice little wall of awards.
We have a wall of shame. No, what's the wall? I guess it's a wall of fame.
A wall of fame.
Wall of fame and a wall of shame. No.
Now but, you need to do like, okay, so I am proposing that in 2026, the Tippecanoe Gazette starts something new.
Oh, boy. Carla is going to tell you no.
An employee of the year. So you can put an employee of the year up there on your Hall of Fame.
I like that.
Yes.
We had an employee of the month for Clock Tower, and it was Bernard, one of my stuffed animals. Maybe next month, the Clock Tower Media Employee of the Year of the Month will be my new creepy clown that I just bought.
What's his name?
I don't know. He doesn't have a name yet. He's just looking at me. I came to work yesterday, and I came downstairs, and he was sitting in my chair, and he had his hand on my mouse.
Oh.
Somebody had pranked me, and I'm like, okay, that's genuinely kind of creepy. But now he's just watching you.
I know. He's I never know what I'm going to get into when I walk down here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But no, we enjoyed winning the awards, and it was great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you won. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about the Tippecanoe Gazette?
Well, actually, you had a good point there where you suggested something new. We love to hear from people.
Yeah.
We love to hear complaints.
Yeah.
I love to hear when the paper, people don't get their paper, because then we know something's going on. We have subscribers all over the country, and people will email me and they'll be like, I'm getting my paper in Florida right now. Can I now get it in Tip City? And I'll switch it over. It's super easy to do. People get it all over. People write and they have suggestions. They have like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So I love that kind of stuff because it's a constant idea generator of like things. So I have a list of things I would like to do with the paper someday. You're toying with the idea of like an advice column. But not like an advice column, not like Dear Abby, but more like, hey, readers, do you have any advice on how to take care of your pets when you're out of town or something like that?
What if you had like a rotating expert column?
That would be good.
You know, like I'm just thinking, I've got Kathy Skinner, who's my head pot tart from the Master Gardeners.
Yes.
Like she's taught me so much about flowers.
I would love to have her write.
You know, like one month have an expert be a gardener, and the next month maybe have Chef Katie come in and
rotating
do like...
Rotating experts.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Use it.
See?
Trademark, Tasha.
See? Every time we run that article, you'll get a quarter. How's that sound?
Nice.
You get a kickback.
Nice.
You get a kickback. But no, we are always looking for writers. We're always looking for photographers. We are always looking for ideas, stories, leads on stuff. If people want to anonymously let us know about things, they can. But we prefer to have something that we can like follow up on.
Right.
We're really looking for writers. Like you just said, I've been looking for a writer that can cover like health-related stuff for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of leery about putting medical advice and stuff like that in the paper. So we would have to put a disclaimer in there. But like an expert, like somebody, everybody I know is dealing with like their parents going to hospice or their parents dealing with Alzheimer's. Or how do you, like when you go take your wife to the hospital, like what's the best, like, you know, plan for like, what do you, you know, just like. All the different kind of like things that people are dealing with right now, medical wise.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I would just love to have somebody write like what is, you hear all these like different like diagnoses going on. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I guess I'll go look it up.
Interesting.
It'd be kind of nice to know. And then again, you could do health advice. We would just have to put like a disclaimer in there. Like we have financial advisors in the paper, and we have, one of our ex-police guys writes a regular thing in the paper, and one of his stories recently was how to travel with your pets on a plane.
Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. Like helpful, super helpful, very like targeted advice would be something that would be fun. You know?
That would be fun.
And now that I'm not on city council, we're kind of expanding our coverage of more like, not really investigative reporting because we don't have the staff for that, but we're trying to cover more stuff, more interesting stuff that's going on with the city and plans and development and stuff. Being on council was good and also bad because I would hear stuff that was coming that I couldn't talk about. Right. And that's annoying because I know about it, but I'm not allowed to talk about it because it's insider trading. Right. So.
OK, here is my question, though.
But now if I hear about it, it's public. So if I know about it now, if it's a new thing that comes up right now and I hear about it, I'm like, oh, OK, that's in the public. We can run with it right away. We don't have to sit on anything. And that's annoying. I don't like sitting on news. I hate that.
Whose job is it to share what's going on with the city?
From which organization? From the city?
Yeah.
To the city? From the city to the citizens?
From the city to the citizens. That's because I actually get city council. Asked that a lot.
It's the city manager and the city manager's office and their communications. They don't have a public relations person at the city.
That's what I say because yeah. I'm constantly getting asked like, well, this is going on, but nobody told us. And I'm like, well, I knew about it because I went to the city council meeting. But
if you go to the meetings, you hear a lot of this stuff. And they have a thing called Tippecanoe News, which is a little monthly flyer that goes out in all the utility bills and stuff like that. One of the things we tried to do when I was on city council is figure out better ways to get the word out. Because there's a lot happening.
Yes.
And people don't know about it. And then something bad happens. And then people are mad because they're like, well, we didn't know they were going to blast. Why are they blasting? We don't know what's going on.
I wonder now that you're not on city council, if there's some kind of way that you could more actively promote what is going on with the city.
Yeah.
Because I know that there is a big disconnect there.
There is a big disconnect, and I think it's the city. The city is understaffed, chronically understaffed, so they're busy doing their thing. And when I was with council, I was pushing for like a PR person or communications person, somebody who's in charge of their socials and in charge of their newsletter, which they don't have, or their print newsletter, which they do have. But like, we've had disasters happen in town, not disasters, but we've had like tornadoes and stuff like that. And nobody's really sure who to talk to, like who's the press supposed to call. So they call the city manager, and that's not who they should call. They should call the fire department if it's a disaster, or the police department if it's the police. But there's a lot going on, and I think the city could do a better job of communicating that.
People. I wonder if there's any way that the paper could get involved in that and help with the city with that.
Well, actually, that is a good point, because one of the things that the state of Ohio changed a couple of years ago is they reduced the reporting requirements for local municipalities. They used to have to run more stuff in their local paper, like meeting announcements and things like that, and telling people ahead of time, this is a thing that's going to happen, that's a thing that's going to happen. They used to have to run them in the local paper. And again, because papers are dead.
Right.
They changed all the rules so that now cities can just post notifications in the lobby of their buildings or put it on their website or both. And that's great, but it's like Facebook.
You have to go find it.
And it's different from, it's like, I tell this to people all the time. Spotify is great. Radio is great. Radio is different because radio serves to you songs that you may not have heard for 10 years.
Right.
Don't even remember that exist.
Yeah.
It's being served to you by somebody who is taking like an intentional look at all the whatever, you know, dance music from the 80s. And they're like, here's our dance music from the 80s channel. And then you listen and you're like, I have not heard that song. Anybody can go on Spotify and pull all those songs up and play them one at a time, but you don't remember that they exist.
Correct.
That's what the difference between like XM versus like Spotify is, that you're being served stuff. It's like going to the library. You can pick out a book, or you can look at the shelf of recommendations from the staff that you might hear about things that you wouldn't normally hear about. The paper exists to bring in all the information and then like carve it up and package it in a way that people can like pick it up and take it with them. Mm-hmm. And that's the summary of everything that happened in this area in the last week.
Yeah. And having a printed version means it will live on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah. Yeah. But people get on the website to see what's going on with the city and have to go to they have to remember to go to the website and check for the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have to go physically drive to the city building and go look in the building in their like bulletin board to see.
Right.
And I just don't think that's a service to the community. I think they should run announcements, especially about like big meetings and like mm-hmm. budget stuff. They do still do some of that, but when the state of Ohio changed the reporting requirements, there was a big kerfluffle with like the larger newspapers.
Yeah.
Talking about in Columbus and Cincinnati about like it feels like the government is not trying to be as honest as it could be if you make people go work.
What?
Yeah.
I would never believe that.
No, but if you
be careful. We're going to get this podcast shut down.
Oh, no. But if you're telling people this is a thing that's happening, that's you're being open and honest, and it's a sunshine law kind of thing. And I really do think that there's a lot of stuff happening around TIP and these other government organizations like Vandalia and New Carlisle and Milton. They're constantly meeting and voting about stuff.
Right.
It's important to people. And if you're not letting people know that you're involved, it feels like you're hiding it. They're not hiding it.
I remember.
It's 100% public. You know, every meeting is public and you can show up. But if you're not telling people ahead of time, this is a thing that's happening and we're getting ready to vote on it tonight, and you don't give the people the opportunity to speak up, then yes, it might make the process go quicker, but it's going to cause more problems down the road. Because people get mad and then they do a petition or whatever. Like, you're just making more work, I think. My opinion.
One of the biggest things that surprised me, you know, you were on city council. I go to a lot of city council meetings. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't speak. I sit there and I listen. I need to know what's going on around town.
We wait till you leave and then we talk about you.
Yeah, I figured. But, a lack of people there was always so surprising. And because if you go to Facebook, you hear all these people complaining. And I just want to be like, get off of Facebook and go to a meeting, because Facebook's not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, it turns out downvoting something on Facebook doesn't actually do anything.
I know. It's crazy.
And that was interesting when I was on council. You hear the controversies that are happening on Facebook about certain things, and then you go to the meeting expecting 30 people and there's two.
Right. Right.
And then they chicken out and don't want to get up and talk.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, so do I listen to what I heard on Facebook, or are the people on Facebook even in town? Do they even live here?
Are they even real residents, or are they just people that want to complain?
Is it a robot from China?
Right.
I don't know. But I know that Facebook has a lot of real people on there. But if they're going to complain about something and offer solutions and say, well, this is something we shouldn't let happen, and then they know, they don't know there's a meeting, which happens all the time, or they know there's a meeting and they just don't come. And then you have, after a while, you have to discount their opinions slightly, because it doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal for them. They want to complain about it in their pajamas, but they don't want to actually show up at the meeting and get up and speak to the people that are getting ready to vote about the thing you're frustrated about.
Yeah.
And that, honestly, when I was on council, that happened a lot, where the public changed the outcome of something that we were going to do. You know, things came up and we were going in one direction, and then people came and spoke about it, and then we're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Right. But if people don't come and speak up about it, how are they going to know?
Right. And people want to also feel heard. Even if they don't change the outcome of the vote, they can say that they went to the meeting and they spoke their mind.
Yeah.
And then if it goes poorly, then they can say, well, I told you so. You know, I think that's good. And we also encourage people to write letters to the editor about anything they're frustrated about, because that also really helps. It really does. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is your policy on the letters to the editor? Will you guys print anything that's sent to you?
No.
Okay. Fair.
It's a 400 word limit.
Okay.
Because some people are very verbose. I think you get two a month. I think we had to limit the amount we were getting because people were sending in like in batches of them.
Oh.
So you get two a month. I think that's the new rule. And you have to have your name and address. And then if it's horribly written, sometimes we will like tidy it up editorial wise, but we don't change the meaning of anything or any of that kind of stuff. The only thing we don't run is like personal attacks. Like if somebody writes in about Tasha Weaver, oh my God, have you heard? What a and then a list of all your faults.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't get to 400 words anyway, because you don't have any faults. But it just like, if it's not an opinion based, a helpful letter, and it's just, you know,
trash
kvetching, that's mm-hmm. fine. But trashing people or saying unsubstantiated negative things about people, we have a tendency to push back on that. So sometimes Carla will get a letter to the editor and she'll contact the person and be like, we can't run this, this, and this. But if you want to redo it and send it back in and kind of clean it up, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're very open for it. I like to hear it. I get crap about that from from people I know. They're like, I can't believe you ran that letter from that lady. And I'm like, well, you know what I'd love to hear is a letter from the other side taking that apart. Tell me what she got wrong.
I wish they would learn how to spell Angie McMurray's name.
I write Angie McMurtry just to see if anybody says anything. Because he's a good writer. I like McMurtry. He's a good writer. So, sometimes we put people's names in wrong just to see if anybody's reading the paper.
Really?
We've never done that. No. That would be bad. But no, we want to hear from people. We want to hear complaints, especially if the city's doing something wrong. Or if a local organization that's big, like the school district or the partnership or anybody is doing something, the paper exists to kind of like help the community keep an eye on things.
Right.
And that's another problem. Vandalia doesn't have a paper, right?
Ooh, and that's why their police blotter's crazy.
And their police blotter's crazy, but also the citizens are mad at the Vandalia government for starting all of these like housing developments and stuff like that.
Oh,
but there's
yeah.
no newspaper there to like keep an eye on things. And that's why they call it the Fourth Estate. It's supposed to be like a watchdog organization. So if bad stuff is happening in New York City and there's not a press keeping an eye on that, then I would think things would get even worse.
Yeah.
Know? So having the paper, keeping an eye on what people are doing, reporting on stuff that's happening that may or may not be great, I think that helps get more people involved and interested in things. But mm-hmm. if you're not reading the paper, you don't know anything. You don't know any of the stuff that's happening. And you don't know who to reach out to complain about it.
Right.
So I would say get on the website of the newspaper.
Type and what is that website again?
It's tipgazette.com.
Tipgazette.com.
Yeah. And look at our paper on the internet. It's not the whole paper. It's a small, like maybe half every week.
Okay.
And I pick and choose what stories go on the paper. And mostly it's the stuff with photography. It's the stories that have pictures because I mm-hmm. don't like running stuff on the website that don't have pictures because it looks dumb. We don't run the police blotters. We don't run most of the columns. We don't run a lot of the stories that are not visual. We try to run all the visual stuff on the website. So if you like that, get on there and look and see if you like what we're covering. And sometimes there's more pictures on the website than are in the paper. Like we have extra pictures. And then there's a big button at the top that says subscribe. And you click on that. It's $99 a year. You can pay with a credit card.
Wait, or $99 a year? That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. $99 a year. $2 an issue, essentially. A little slightly less than $2 an issue. Because you get 51 issues for $99.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I know. To know everything that's going on.
That's why I drive my car that I have. It's a clunker. Because we don't make any money. That's not true. I love my car. But no, get on the website and you can sign up with your credit card.
Yeah.
If you like credit cards. If you mm-hmm. don't like credit cards, I would suggest go to, or if you want to see the paper physical, go to any of our retail establishments and buy a copy of the paper. It's $2.
Yeah.
Get a paper, read it, see if you like it. If you like it, on page 3, at the bottom of page 3, there's this coupon thing that you cut out.
Oh, I get to cut a coupon.
Yeah, it's like a craft project.
Love it.
You cut it out and you write a check.
Yeah.
Which for kids nowadays, it's like Venmo, but like on on paper.
Venmo on paper.
It's like Venmo, but you write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you send this piece of paper in with this other piece of paper in an envelope, which is also paper, to me. And then I add you to the list of people that get the paper.
Put a stamp on it, please.
Yes. Put a stamp on it. But yes, you can subscribe through the website or old school.
Old school.
Old school. Snail mail and send us it and we'll get you on the list. There's a special list of people. Every week they get the paper.
You have a great crew. I know you would do anything to help anybody. I know Carla also would. So if you can't figure it out, you can also just call 937-669-2040 and somebody will help you out with that.
Absolutely. We'll walk you through the process. It's great. But yeah, we're enjoying the paper. It's going well this year. We've got some stuff planned for the new year. But this year, My goal is to be cash flow positive. So we'll see how that goes.
Well,
fingers crossed.
We wish you luck, and we are so thankful that you are here to keep spreading the word.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thanks for being a great supporter of the paper. You send us stuff all the time.
I do.
We get lots of press releases from the Downtown Tip City Partnership. And you have lots of fun events downtown, and I love your events because they generate a lot of stories.
Yes, they do.
Like, if you've got Vintage in the Village, you get three stories, usually.
Okay.
Because you get a story like a month out. Hey, Vintage in the Village is coming. Prepare yourself, you know? Get ready.
Prepare the masses.
Prepare the masses for maximum fun.
Vintage in the Village is going to be different this year.
Okay, don't tell me that. I don't want to know.
You don't want to know right now? No. Really? Are you sure?
I want to continue thinking of it exactly the way the way it is now. Don't stress me out. My stress level's at 10 out of 10. You get a story like a month out, like prep. Uh-huh. Sometimes even further out if you're looking for vendors.
Yeah.
So, but you usually get a story a month before the event, like the tree lighting, Christmas tree lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get an event, you get a story the week of to remind people, hey, this is a thing that's happening tomorrow. Go do it. And then we usually get a story a week or two afterwards with photos. So it's great.
Nice.
You're doing a great job. You're making a lot of news that I get to put in my paper. I love it.
That's my favorite thing to do is create news.
I thought your favorite thing to do was to create controversy.
No, definitely not.
Good. Well, thank you. That was good.
Yeah. Thanks for being our special guest today.
No problem. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah. Well, we hope you guys all have a great day. And until next week, thanks for listening.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Downtown Lowdown. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a story behind the storefronts. I'll be back every Wednesday with more conversations about the people, places, and moments that make downtown Tip City special. If something we talked about today sparked your curiosity or you want to dig a little deeper, I encourage you to reach out to the Tippecanoe Gazette editor and share your thoughts or questions. Community conversations matter. And if you love these stories and you want to be part of them, consider becoming a friend of downtown. Your support helps us preserve, promote, and enhance the downtown we all love. Thanks for joining us on the Downtown Lowdown. I'm Tasha Weaver, and until next time, we'll see you downtown.
Looking for the real stories behind your community? Tune in to Newsmakers, the podcast that brings the Tippecanoe Gazette to life. Hosted by Greg Enslin, Newsmakers dives into exclusive interviews with local business owners, community leaders, and event organizers, giving you a front row seat to what's happening in Tip City, Ohio. Your community, your stories, your podcast. Newsmakers. Available wherever you get your podcasts.